Church. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's baptism weekend. We're going to celebrate what the Lord's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Come on, let's sing.
This next song, the kiddos in here learned it back in VBS last year, so it's a bit of a mover. You ready to move? Gonna jump a little bit, gonna dance? Yeah? All right.
I was nowhere, you came to my rescue. From the grave I've been raised. When I needed a savior to save me, Jesus, you made a way.
That's right.
I was blind, but these eyes have been opened. Now I walk in the light.
Yeah.
Every step on this road I will follow. Jesus, you made a way. You are the way. You are the way. Lost and dead, but your love came to find me. Jesus, you are the way. You are the way. You are the way. You're the light shining bright in the darkness. Jesus, you are the way. Jesus, the only way.
Made a cannonball in here? No?
All my days are secure in your promise, never standing alone. You're the truth, you're the life, you're my future. Jesus, you made a way.
I'm alive!
I'm alive in the love that you give me, free to dance once again. Will lead me from glory to glory. Jesus, you made a way.
Here we go.
You are the way. You are the way. Lost and dead, but your love came to find me. Jesus, you are the way. Jesus, the only way. You are the way. You are the way. You are the way. Lost in dead, but your love came to find me. Jesus, you are the way.
That song. We used to sing that for VBS last year. Well, we jammed out to it. How is everybody doing out there this morning? I was okay. I asked, how is everybody doing out there this morning? There we go. It's a little bit better. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Dan Russell. I'm the middle school pastor here at Westgate. And this is Marlena Burrow. She's our Kidman director, and she does a phenomenal job at what she does. Yep, just phenomenal. Yeah, give it up for her. All right, so Before we get into some really cool stuff, I have to give you some really quick announcements, okay? And so as you walked in from the multiple entrances here at Westgate Chapel, there are tables coming into the sanctuary or the worship center. And on those tables are very essential things for our service. One is the sermon notes. There's not going to be a whole lot of notes to be taken today, but there's things like events and things going on in our finances that are kind of cool to look at if you want to kind of peruse that and see what's going on. The next thing is in front of you, you will have your Connect cards. And this is a cool way just for us to stay connected with you guys and for you guys to stay connected with Westgate Chapel. So if you have any prayer requests, you're trying to figure out how to get connected here at Westgate, just fill that out. We're not going to show up at your house or anything like that, but we just want to be a part of your life, and hopefully you want to be a part of Westgate Chapel's life. And so if you have a prayer request or anything, you can just put that in the back bins back there. Or if you want to talk to a human, you can go to one of our guest centers, be greeted with a beautiful smile, and they can answer any questions that you got regarding of any questions that you have. And then also, we're doing communion today. And so if you didn't get your communion elements, I would encourage you to either scoot back there now and get it, or there'll be a point in the service where you can raise your hand right now. I think we got a couple people, a couple guys, ushers with them to give you your elements. And also, I almost forgot the thing in my hand. Today's Together Sunday, and so if you have any kids with you or anything like that, it's just a cool little fun thing that they can do to answer some questions as we go through the service, just to keep them engaged and kind of focus on something. And then this is a parent guide of what baptism is. And so if you want to take a chance right now or like throughout the service just to explain to your child what's going on, why we do this, what's happening, this is a great way to be able to walk them through that. And that's all I got. And so now we're going to watch a very awesome video on VBS. So please, gander.
And I'm the Kids Ministry Director here at Westgate Chapel. This week in this very room, we kicked off VBS, a whole week full of 220 kids worshiping the Lord, playing large group games, and going out into the rest of this building, have an incredible time learning the good news about Jesus. As you can see, Dan is a very important part of VBS, so we were so grateful to have him with us last year. This year, VBS is June 13th through the 17th, and I know all of you are out there thinking, wow, that looks like so much fun for somebody else to do. But I want you to tell you today is that it is going to take our whole church coming together to pull it off. Because last year we had over 220 kids come and hear the good news of Jesus possibly for the first time. Isn't that amazing? That's like what VBS is about. And this year we are so excited that we have been able to send home flyers in all of the Springfield Elementary Schools, which is the school district that we are partnering with. So they are all gonna get a flyer sent home in their folder, thanks to Jen. Everybody get up for Jen, she's awesome. And so that is going to happen. So we could have a lot of kids in our building, and we need you to help us do that. Behind you, you'll see some pictures of people serving. And I know Dan, he served last year. I had a great time, but I love VBS. I was saved at 7 years old out of VBS. And so VBS is so important because it is, for some, the very first time that they'll hear the good news of Jesus. So Dan, since you served last year, could you just give us a little bit about what was it like to serve at VBS?
It was amazing. It's a blast. It is a little wild, it's a little crazy, a little chaotic, but that's what makes it so good. I got to help out with games. I also got to do like the hype team. So if you like to dance, if you like to be wild and get your groove on, I encourage you be a part of the hype team because we have a really good time. Hardest thing is just remember the dances. But by the end of the week, it's like the back of your hand. I got to do games with Steve, and we had middle schoolers helping out. We had parents helping out. We had a couple older folks helping out, and it was just so good to see all of us not separately helping but working together as a team across the board with, like, the ages. And it was just really encouraging to my heart and just having my middle school students show these kids Jesus and how to win gracefully, how to lose gracefully, and how to have a good attitude while playing a game. Games are a big deal. They're not just something we do just because, but there's lots of lessons that you can learn. And so if you want to do games, come on and help us. It's going to be a great time. But if you want to do something else, I encourage you. You will not regret it. I promise. And if you do, blame me.
Yeah, you won't. We need help, and not just games. We need help in every facet. Even if you can't be here, maybe you work during the week, we need help setting up the Sunday before. We need help tearing down. We need help all over the board. So the best way for you to find out what information we need from you to see if you can serve is, everybody can serve. Go to westgatechapel.org/serve, and if you click on Westgate Opportunities, you'll see a button there where you can, that says Spark Studios. And so we need your help, and again, if you're waiting for someone else to do it, they're not going to. You are the person, okay? You are the person. And again, so this morning, it's a little different. You're going to see some things that are a little bit different than we normally do it. And so we are baptizing 16 people. We baptized 5 this morning. Woo! And so we're going to have quite a few this service. And we invite you that this is a time to worship. This is a time to celebrate together. And as we do this, and I want you to stand because we're going to continue worshiping in celebration, and I'm going to read this over you. Psalm 113 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted above the heavens. Who is like our God? The one who sits enthroned on high. Let's worship the Lord together."
All right, let's sing our songs to God. This is a song about how God does great things. If you want to see God do some great things, maybe get around some young people at VBS this year, huh?
With just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. With just one word, the darkness has to retreat. With just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes are open to see, and my heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. With just one word, you hear what's broken inside. With just one word, and you revive every dream. With just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like His power. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that
Sunday to celebrate you doing some crazy things in people's lives. God, the dead are raised in Jesus' name. God, the people that were living one way have encountered you and are now living a totally different way. Wow, God, we are not trapped in the status quo. God, we are not trapped in the way we've been. God, you say, follow me, and I'll give you abundance of life, not necessarily easiness of life, God. You certainly don't promise us that. You say, take up a cross and follow me. But God, you promise that it will be full. God, today we're here to celebrate people who have made the decision by your grace, God, that they want their lives to look like Jesus. That's something to celebrate, God. These are people that have encountered you, God, and by your grace said, I'm done with the chains of my past. I'm done with the sins of my past. And God, I just think of my own experience being where I was and being what you and encountering you and being sanctified by you. And God, you still got a lot of work left to do in my life, but thank you, God, that you are living and active in the lives of these people who are willing to say, man, Jesus is my Savior. I'm not standing on my own good works anymore, but Jesus is my Savior. God, thank you that we get to celebrate that with so many people today. God, lives are changed. I can't even think of all the things you're going to do in these people's lives, God. We just thank you for who you are. And we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, good morning, church family. How are you this morning? We have got half of you are real, or maybe a quarter of you are really amped up. How are you this morning? We have got a fantastic service that I'm so excited about today. As Marlena mentioned, we've got 16 people between both services that are being baptized this morning, and just excited to see people taking that step of saying, not only have I chosen to believe in Jesus, but I am choosing to dedicate my heart and my life to Him. And it's an exciting thing for us to celebrate together as a church family this morning. And most importantly today, we have the opportunity to hear from each person that is being baptized or has already been baptized in our service this morning. We get to hear a little bit of what God is doing in their hearts and in their lives. And so we're very excited for that. So I'm going to begin actually by inviting Marlena, our kids ministry director, to come on out here also with our kids that are being baptized. Welcome them, please, as they come this morning.
Okay, we have been spending the last couple weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, on a class that all of these guys have taken called Kid Faith. And in this class, we have dug deep, we've had fun, and we have been learning all about what does it mean to actually follow Jesus? What does it mean to put your faith in Christ? How do we know for sure that we've done that? We've also talked about things like baptism and its significance. We've talked about communion. And so these guys and their parents have gone through this 3-week class in order to be here today. And so that was just a phenomenal thing that we got to do together. But in order for you to get to know them a little bit, I'm going to ask them a few questions, and we need some interaction from you guys. Can y'all do it? You got it? Okay. So first of all, you're going to tell us what your name is and how old you are.
My name is Olivia Owens, and I'm 10 years old.
Everybody say, hello, Olivia. Hello. Olivia, could you tell us what is something that you love doing for fun?
Read.
Read. Anybody else readers in here? Yeah. Reading is good for your brain. Excellent. And could you tell us, if you had to tell everybody here one thing about Jesus, what would it be?
He died for all of us.
All of us? Not just you? No. Not just me? No. Them too? Yeah? Yeah? Awesome. Yes, he died for all of us, right? And if you have a verse, can you share a verse with us that's meaningful to you?
Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Awesome. Everybody give her a round of applause. Thank you much for sharing. Okay, go ahead and tell us your name and how old you are.
My name is Courtney Gagne, and I'm 11 years old.
11, everybody say, hello, Courtney. Can you tell us, what is something that you love to do for fun?
Arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts, just any kind of crafts?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I asked you first service, and she's like, all of them. That's a great thing. You can come play with me sometime. I love crafts, too. Okay, can you tell me, what is, if you could tell everybody here one thing about Jesus, what would it be?
That he died for our sins and wants to be our forever friend.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Isn't that great news? We talk about good news. That's the best news. And if you could share a verse that's meaningful to you, what would that be?
Hebrews 4:12.
Okay, can you tell us what that is?
For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you so much, Courtney. He said he was tired before he came out here, so we're going to have to wake him up, okay? Go ahead and tell us your name and how old you are.
I'm Prescott Fisher, and I'm 11 years old.
Everybody say, hi, Prescott! You a little more awake? No. Okay, could you tell us, what is one thing you like to do for fun?
I like playing outside.
Playing outside. What particular do you like to play playing outside? Which, that's a great, isn't that a great answer these days? Outside. Excellent.
Sports.
Sports. What's your favorite sport?
Basketball.
Basketball. Awesome. And could you tell us, if you could tell everybody here one thing about Jesus, what would it be?
That he created the world and that he died for our sins.
That's right. That's right. I love that. And if you could have a meaningful verse, what would that be?
Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah, because he created each of us, right? Yes, he did. Awesome. Thanks, Prescott. Give it up for Prescott. Okay, could you tell us your name and how old you are?
I'm Hazel Sowell, and I'm 8 years old.
Everybody say,
hi, Hazel.
Hi, Hazel. Could you tell us what's something you like to do for fun?
I like to read and climb trees.
Climb trees. I asked her earlier, have she ever fell out of a tree? And she said, not that she remembers. So I said, that's good. Safety. Safety, safety. Okay, if you could tell everybody here one thing about Jesus, what would it be?
He's always with us.
He's always with us. Isn't that amazing? Like, he's with all of us, right?
Yes.
I love that. And what is a verse that's meaningful to you?
Jonah 2:2. In my distress, I call to the Lord, and he answers.
Oh, isn't that amazing that he answers us? I love that. Thank you so much. And last but not least, tell us your name and how old you are.
My name is Julia Moore, and I'm 9 years old.
Awesome. Everybody say, hi, Julia. Can you tell us what's something you like to do for fun?
I like to run.
You like to run. I was telling her earlier that maybe we could have a race, and then maybe that wouldn't be a good idea, and we'd be in the baptismal, and it would just be a mess. But you would definitely win, for sure. She looks fast. Doesn't she look fast? She looks fast. Can you tell me what is one thing you want all of these people to know about Jesus?
He was born as a baby.
He was born as a baby, meaning that he is both God and man, and he came. Why did he come?
Save our sins.
To save us, right? Isn't that the best? We're talking about good news. That is the best news. And if you have a verse, share that with us.
My verse is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Give it up for Julia.
Awesome. What a great job with our kids, and it is so exciting just to see. I love the class that our kids ministry has developed and is taking our kids through with their parents, really seeking to encourage them in the growth in their faith and understanding of what Jesus has accomplished for them. And so we're excited to be able to baptize a number of them this morning. Some of them were already baptized first service, but we also have an incredible student ministry here at the church led by Steve Fisher and Dan Russell, and Pastor Dan is going to come out and join us right now with a couple of our students. There is big entrance there for a big guy. So give them a round of applause as they come.
There you go. Get your own mic. All right. So we got two fellas here. We had three in the first service, but Aaron, Aaron had to go to an orchestra concert. And one of his answers to his question was he doesn't like squash. And so just a little preview. All right. So, sir, what is your name? What grade are you in? And what school do you go to?
My name is Aiden. I'm in sixth grade, and I go to Hillside Middle School.
Awesome. Everyone say, what's up, Aiden? Amazing. All right, Aiden. So if you don't have chores, if you don't have homework, like, what's the one thing that you're going to spend your time doing?
Video games.
Video games. All right, what video game?
Call of Duty or Fortnite.
Call of Duty, Fortnite. Okay. How often would you say you play video games?
Way too much.
Way too much. Honest answer. I love it. Thank you. All right. If you had one food that you would never eat again, what would that food be?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes, yes. Terrible. Disgusting texture. All right. And so, now a couple serious questions. Aiden, when did you accept Jesus into your life?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Were you with your mom when you did that?
Yes.
Yeah? Very cool. Awesome. And why do you want to get baptized this morning?
I want to be closer to God.
Closer to God. Awesome. Great answer. All right. Thank you, Aiden. Give it up for Aiden, everybody. All right. Name, school, grade.
My name is Malachi, and I'm in eighth grade, and I go to Apostolic Christian Academy.
Yes. Malachi is one of my eighth graders. He's also known as Malachi or Malachi. Yep. He has a couple nicknames
Probably.
There. Okay, Malachi. What is, when you're like chilling at home, when you have no homework, no chores, like what do you spend your time doing?
Video games or basketball.
Video games or basketball, okay. What position do you play in basketball?
I'm sub point guard.
Sub point guard?
Yeah.
Okay, got some dribbling skills then?
Not really. Some,
not really? Okay.
Some, but they're not as refined as some of the other players.
Gotcha,
but
it takes practice, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what video games do you play?
Fortnite and Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Either one.
Okay, I haven't played Spider-Man yet. I used to play it on the PS2, you know.
No, I mean like the PS4 one.
I know PS, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
That one.
I get it. all right, and so what's one food you never eat again?
Wasabi.
Wasabi, okay. How much wasabi did you have? Was like a big?
It was like that big.
Like a dime size. That's a.
I'm going to say a dime. That's a bit big.
Okay, all right.
My brother, though, or not really my brother, but you know. He had like that big of a ball of wasabi.
That's ridiculous. That's way too much.
Yeah. He got paid for it. I think he got paid $50.
That's worth it then. That's worth it for sure.
Yeah.
If you're getting money. All right. thank you for that. So, okay. When did you accept Jesus into your life, Malachi?
October 10th, 2020.
Amazing. Do you want to kind of tell us how that happened?
So we were at home watching this 70s movie, which was cheesy, as I said in the first service, and it was about the end times, and even though it was cheesy, it hit me. And then afterward, like, I was in my room, and I just prayed for a while. And I prayed pretty hard, yeah.
Prayed pretty hard?
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember what I prayed about, but it must have been pretty good.
Yeah. It's like, I want to go to heaven, yep. Awesome. Malachi, why do you want to be baptized this morning?
Because I just feel like it's time. Like, I've believed in Jesus for a long time, and I feel like it's time to act on it.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Give it for Malachi, everybody.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And Malachi, it's called A Thief in the Night. It scared me into the kingdom, and it also made me sleep in my parents' room for 2 weeks. So, yeah. Hey, if you want to have a marathon, though, and watch that cheesy movie with me again, let me know. Well, it's great. Yes. There's something about that weird cloud in the sky and the mower with nobody behind it. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's great. You know, so exciting to see what God is doing in the lives of our kids and the lives of our students. You know, we talk as a church about saying yes to the next generation, that is a priority we have as a church leadership. But I hope that for each of you as followers of Jesus Christ, that is a passion of yours as well. Being able to take our faith and to pour into the generations that are coming behind us, sharing our faith, helping them to grow up not only in the knowledge of God, but learning to surrender their hearts and lives. And so we're super excited to see these kids and our students follow the Lord in baptism this morning, and we are excited to continue that journey with them. But as well, this morning we have a number of adults that are going to be baptized, so I'm going to invite them to come on out and join me here on stage. Would you welcome them as they come? And this is great. You know, in the first service, as we were baptizing, I told everybody, if there's anybody here that hasn't been baptized and you want to get baptized today, there's no time like second service. So we added three people this morning, which I love. Praise the Lord. Awesome. What I'm going to ask you guys to do is just introduce yourself. What's your name? How long have you been here at Westgate? And then why do you want to be baptized today?
All right. So my name is Carson Webster. I've been coming to Westgate ever since I was born. So about 20 years now, and today I just want to get baptized because I accepted Christ when I was really young, about 5 years old, and then through my junior high and high school years, I kind of became pretty stagnant in my faith, wasn't really pursuing God super actively, but these last couple years, that's changed, gotten a lot more involved in the church, and really owned my faith with Christ. So. And then my Aunt Tegan over here, she's getting baptized as well. And she asked if I'd be willing to baptize her. And so I figured, you know, as long as I'm doing her, I might as well do it with her and make that proclamation of faith for myself as well. So.
Awesome.
So my name is Sarah Leonard. I'm 19, so I've been coming to Westgate since I was born also. It just was really laid on my heart to get baptized today. Wasn't the plan necessarily, but I love the Lord with my whole entire heart, and I just want to publicly proclaim that today.
Awesome.
All right, so I'm Tegan Wallace, and I was born and raised in the church, 26 years, got you there. But yes, Carson's my nephew, and I have been debating getting baptized for a long time and just kept pushing it off and pushing it off. I'll do it after this. But growing up in the church, I've had two kids. I got married her, have two kids, and we've dedicated them to the Lord. And I'm like, what better place to get baptized than here at Westgate? And just kind of finish off the story here and dedicate myself to the Lord in front of everyone else here, so...
Awesome.
Good morning. My name is Natalia. I have been to the church about 3 years. And after a long time, I understood that Jesus Christ is the only way, and I decided to totally surrender.
Awesome.
I'm Amber Falls. Me and my husband have been coming here for about 6 months. My story is a little bit different. I got saved when I was 7 years old, and then I made some poor choices kind of throughout the years. The good thing is the Lord never left me. And that's the good thing about God is once you make that choice, he doesn't leave you. I want to get baptized today because I want to break the chains for my children and my grandchildren. I want them to know that it's never too late to come to the Lord. I want them to know that my sins have been washed clean and theirs can be too, that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, and I want them to be in heaven with me. So that's why I'm getting baptized, for my kids and for my grandkids. So thank you.
What a beautiful testimony. Beautiful.
My name is Chad Kidd. I'm going to try to keep this short. I know Rob and I have a tendency to kind of go long. So, I was baptized as a child in a denomination that believed, hey, you get baptized as a child, you're good for your whole life. That's it. One baptism, done. That was a choice of my parents, obviously. And I'm thankful for my parents for doing that because it got me started, you know. So in the church all my life, in adulthood, trailed off, didn't go to church, you know, just bad habits, way of life, culture, just, you know, bit on everything that happened, you know. And so we jumped right back in, went to church, and the Lord started to feed us a lot. So we're very thankful for that. 2011, our daughter Amelia came along, and 2013, my son Aaron. And in 2015, my daughter had a diagnosis of being on the autism spectrum, which we had no idea what autism really was, aside from thinking, from old thinking, that it was like nonverbal, rocking back and forth, things like that. You know, the stereotypical type things for autism. So there was some anger with God in that diagnosis. So, you know, we just had to learn and pray and just, you know, learn how to live life a little bit differently. After that, I went on an Emmaus walk, which was a real great time for me just to dig deeper, get closer to the Lord, and understand that the things that from my past that I may have been forgiven or my wife may have forgiven, I never forgave myself for, which is a big deal. You have to learn how to forgive yourself. So I've done all that, but I'm here today because I want to make sure that I don't forget it. You know, I want the Lord to just, you know, be with me. I want to make sure that I'm leading myself, I'm leading my wife, culture, and society in the world.
Awesome. That is awesome. Well, would you give each of them a round of applause this morning? Great. You guys can be seated. Thank you so much. You know, such a powerful moment this morning, and I'm glad that you have gotten to at least hear a little bit about each person that is being baptized this morning. If you've been baptized, you know that baptism is a significant moment in the life of anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. You think back of the different significant moments that maybe you've had in your life. You know, for some people, that significant moment was, you know, is things like a high school graduation or a college graduation or a significant moment that you remember, maybe getting married, or maybe it was a moment that you had where for the very first time you felt loved by someone, maybe by a parent or by a sibling or by a close friend. Or there are many different things that create significant moments in our life, and oftentimes it has to do with kind of what I would call very foundational moments in our life where something new begins and where there is a new beginning, but there is also just an emotional tie to it. And as we talked this morning in first service, and also as I've shared with each person that is being baptized, baptism is meant to be one of those key significant moments in the life of every single follower of Jesus Christ. It's that moment where you declare publicly that not only do I believe in who Jesus is as revealed in the Bible, but also I have chosen to lay aside my own life and put my faith in Jesus and follow him with all of my life and all of my heart. And it's a powerful and it's a significant moment for each individual. And this morning, as we think about that, I want us to really understand what baptism is. Because for some people, it's not that significant moment. I know many people that baptism was just kind of a ritual that they did. Maybe they were sprinkled when they were a child or a newborn. Or maybe they were baptized as a child, but they were kind of going through the motions. And some people see it as it's just that thing that you're supposed to do as a Christian. But the way Scripture helps us to understand it is it's meant to be a significant marker in your life where you declare publicly, I have chosen to follow Jesus. And significant not just for you alone, but significant between you and Jesus as you walk with him. I want us to understand because of that a couple things that Scripture tells us about baptism and what it is. And the first thing is this, is that baptism is an expression of our faith. It's an expression of our faith that we have chosen to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Not only that we believe, but also that we choose to follow. I can think of no better passage of Scripture to share with you to illustrate that this morning than what we see in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. If you have your Bibles or your Bible on your phone, you can flip there with me. It won't be on the screen, but you can also just listen along. This is a passage between one of Jesus' followers, Philip, who goes and has the opportunity to share and also baptize an Ethiopian eunuch. And here's what this passage says. It says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And so he invited Philip to come and sit with him. And now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb, before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And so the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. I can only imagine that moment as the eunuch is reading from the passage in Isaiah that was a prophecy in the Old Testament from the prophet Isaiah about Jesus Christ and how he would come and die. And here Philip has the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with him. Over the last many weeks leading up to Easter and through Easter, we've been going through a series entitled The Road to Glory. We as a church have been walking through what is that gospel message so that we can understand it in all of its clarity. And that is the gospel message that Philip had the opportunity to share with this eunuch. He had the opportunity to share with him that all of us have sin. That because all of us have sinned, we are separated from God. There's a punishment because of our rebellion against God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, which means that we are hopelessly lost without God because of our sin. We're separated from him. And even more important than that, and I hope you caught this in our series, is that not only are we separated from God, but we are in our sin, and because of sin and death, we are unable to be good enough to restore what was broken by sin. There is nothing that we can do, no righteousness that we can achieve in our own strength and own power to be good enough to repair what was broken when we sinned against a holy God. Because when we sin against a holy God, the Bible tells us that it requires a punishment for that sin, a punishment that we should have to pay. But the glorious message of the gospel that Philip was able to share with the Ethiopian to help him to understand this passage that he was reading is that God, in his love for his creation, sent his son Jesus into this world to live a perfect life and then to die on a cross, shedding his blood, paying the price and the penalty for our sin so that we could be restored in our relationship with him. God in his love sent Jesus to this world to die in our place, a perfect man dying a sinner's death to take our punishment. And it says in the passage that as they are going along the road, and Philip explaining this to the eunuch, that they came to water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down in the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What a powerful moment and a powerful passage, that as the eunuch is going along and he hears the gospel, not only does he believe, but he responds in faith to this message and says, "I believe and I want to follow. Look, there's water. Why don't we stop and do this right now? Let me proclaim that I have chosen to follow Jesus Christ." Such a powerful moment. And I think it's powerful because truly, for me growing up in the church, I'm not sure you may or may not have seen the same scenario play out in your life, but when I was growing up in the church, oftentimes when somebody would ask to be baptized, whether they were young or even especially older people that had come to faith in Jesus, there are people at times in the church that will teach, "Hey, you got to kind of wait a few years after you receive Christ in order to be baptized, you know, just to make sure that it's legit, right? Like you kind of, you know, you've really done it." And I remember people in our church at times saying that. But you know something, that flies in the face of what Scripture actually teaches. We have this eunuch who, upon hearing the gospel, has surrendered his heart to the Lord, and this moment where he stops and says, "What is holding us now? I want to make this public proclamation that I have chosen to follow Jesus." It is a symbol of the inward change that God is doing as he surrenders his heart and his life to the Lord. I think that's important for us to understand, because I want you to hear, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, being baptized is a command that God gives to every follower of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait. It is an immediate expression of faith. But there is also a great responsibility that comes upon the church in these moments. And church family, even those of you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ and have already been baptized, the great responsibility we have when we see someone come to faith and follow the Lord in baptism is that it is our responsibility to come alongside them, to encourage them in their faith, to disciple them that are making this profession of faith as they continue to grow in that relationship with him. And so I hope what you see first and foremost is that with baptism is important because it is an expression of our faith. It is a symbol for us to say we have chosen to follow Jesus. But secondly, and so important, baptism also is an expression of our union with Jesus Christ. We identify with Christ when we are baptized in his death and his resurrection through baptism. When we go down into the water, it signifies Christ's death and the death also of our former way of living. When we rise up from the water, it signifies Christ's resurrection, which conquered sin and death, but also which signifies our rising up to new life that can only come through Jesus Christ. It's one of the most important expressions of the Christian faith. Not only is it commanded by Jesus for all who would choose to follow him, but it is a significant moment in the life of every believer as they make a public proclamation of their belief in Jesus and their choice to follow him with their whole hearts. And this morning, we have the incredible privilege to witness 16 people between our services who have come to this point of saying, "Today, I am choosing to not only publicly express my faith, but to express the union that I have with Jesus Christ as I choose to follow him." But even more importantly, I believe that one of the things that we all get to experience today is not only the celebration of this choice that people have made to follow Jesus Christ, but we also have the opportunity ourselves to again express our union with Christ by the taking of communion together in our service this morning. You see, communion for us as followers of Jesus Christ is also a way that we continually remember what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. That while we were lost in our sin, that God in his love sent his son Jesus into the world to die on a cross, to pay the penalty for our sin so that we could be restored in relationship with him. And when we take the bread and we take the juice together, it is a reminder to us of the sacrifice that God, that Jesus was willing to pay so that we could be restored in relationship with him. And the significance of this moment, every time we take communion, is that we are able to identify with Christ and be reminded of how much he loves us, which draws us into fellowship and draws us into continually walking with and following him. If you have your communion elements, I would encourage you to pull those out. If you didn't receive the elements as you walked in this morning, we have some that are at our back table. I'd encourage one of our ushers to grab a basket, and if we have opportunity, raise your hand and we'll have someone bring you the elements. But I believe one of the most important things we can do when we come to a time of communion is that we take a moment to pause and to remember not only the sacrifice that Jesus paid on our behalf, but to really ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to help us to see what sin may be present in our lives, and to go before the Lord and to have an opportunity to ask him to forgive us of our sin and to commit ourselves to surrendering all of our heart and all of our lives to Jesus. And so this morning, quietly as the music plays, I'd encourage you, let's take just 2 moments together, 2 minutes, to pause, to reflect, and to pray and ask the Lord for forgiveness of our own sin. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Each of us here, Father, that have placed our faith in you have the opportunity this morning to celebrate the work that you have done in each of our lives. Each of us has a story, a testimony of how we were separate from you, Lord. But through your love and through your grace, Lord, you called us to be your own. We've chosen to give our hearts and our lives to you, and that's why we come to you, Father, in this time of worship, of taking the Lord's Supper, of taking communion together, because it's an opportunity for us, Father, to continually be reminded of the depth of your love for us, that while we were lost in our sin, that rather than destroying us and just pushing us aside and saying, I'm done with my creation who screwed up, you and your love sent your Son into this world. You, God, became a man and paid the penalty for our rebellion against you. Who does that? What an incredible expression of love, the forgiveness that you would extend to us. Heavenly Father, as we take this communion today, we're reminded, we thank you, Father, that we have the forgiveness of sin. Your word says that if we seek you and ask forgiveness of our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we submit ourselves to you and ask you, God, to continually be transforming our hearts. But as we take these elements, Lord, we continue to commit ourselves to you with an attitude of worship and thanksgiving for all that you have done. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 instructed the church in this way. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat together. It also says that in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us drink together. Father, we proclaim the Lord's death until you, God, come again. Until you come again, Lord, we surrender our hearts to you. And so we give you thanks, Father, for the work that you are doing in each one of our lives. We thank you for the love and the grace that you continually extend to us. And this morning, Father, we worship you and celebrate not only what you have done in our lives, but the work that you are doing in the individual lives of all those who will be baptized this morning. And so, Lord, in these next moments, may what we do here on this platform be an incredible expression of our praise and our worship of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to do baptism just a little bit differently than we have in the past this morning. You've had the opportunity to hear the testimonies from each of the individuals that will be baptized, and we're going to sing two songs of worship together, expressing our heart and our praise to the Lord. But as we do that, we're also going to be baptizing the individuals throughout this time of singing and worship. And can I encourage you with this? Each time an individual is baptized and raised up out of the water, would you cheer wildly and celebrate the work that God is doing in each one of their lives? So would you stand and worship with us this morning?
That you would bear my cross.
Grace, I'll stand.
is good. I think, there we go. God is good, amen? Hey, do me a favor. You gave incredible shouts of praise and celebration, but let's give one more to the Lord Jesus Christ, would we? God is good. God is so good. Church family, there is nothing more important and special than the opportunity that we have to baptize people who are making a profession of faith and declaring to you that their desire is to live their whole life for Jesus Christ. And I would share with you this morning, you've gotten to hear the gospel message. If you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and maybe today for the very first time, you are recognizing what Jesus has done and the depth of love that God has for you, do not wait to put your faith in Him. Today is the day. I would love the opportunity to talk with you. The people in our prayer room would love the opportunity to talk and to pray with you. And don't wait to get baptized. Come find me. We will baptize you. We will do it soon because it's such an important step in the life of every single believer. Church family, one of the ways that we're going to also celebrate today is that outside in the cafe area, directly across from where you get your coffee, you're going to see, oh goodness, like 16 different jars with names and a whole bunch of paper. That is there so that we as a church family can continue to encourage each of these individuals that have been baptized today. Can I encourage you? Take 2 minutes before you leave. Stop by that table. Write a special note of encouragement, even if you don't know them. A verse of scripture, an encouraging note. Drop it in their jar and let them know that as a church family, you are behind them. You're encouraging them and you want to walk with them as they continue to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. Such an incredible morning. We get to celebrate the work that God is doing in us and through our church and in the lives of each of these individuals. Let's close our service with one more awesome song of praise to the Lord. Let's sing together.
Hey. You're not ready to go just yet, are you? Woo! What a morning. Oh, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Oh, man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and you put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied, oh, hearing your love. Oh, oh, there's nothing, no, better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, oh, nothing is better than you. That's our story, right? To show you my weakness, 'cause my failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. I can't get over that. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Oh, nothing is better than you.
shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens.
You bring the dead to life.
Only you turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the
actually on your way out, if you do want to give, we do have offering places at their offering plates at the back. Please, man, just go in peace. But if you also, if you need prayer, there are people waiting here at the front to take you to the prayer and pray with you. Do not leave today if you have not given your life to Jesus. There is no greater mistake you can make, and there is no greater decision you can make than to give your life to Jesus. Leaving before you do that would be a huge mistake. I promise you. Love you guys. Go in peace and have a wonderful Sunday.